Hello, and welcome to the Anchor Podcast, a ministry of Rock Harbor Church. We want to help guide and grow you in your walk with the Lord by providing an in-depth study of God's Word. So please grab your Bibles and let's set a course for spiritual maturity. Here's Pastor Brandon with this week's message.
We got a lot to talk about. I'm not actually supposed to be here. I was supposed to be on a plane to Israel this morning or this afternoon. And so obviously we canceled that trip because of the situation, obviously, with Iran attacking Israel last night, or it would be afternoon our time. And so I'm going to postpone Israel and go at another time. Talking to some of our IDF contacts, they said, Brandon, it's not a good time to come right now. We're taking care of business, obviously, but we don't know, you know, this week, what's going to happen? Is Israel going to retaliate? What are we going to do? So they said, it's just not a good time. And I get it, man. And what you saw happen last night or yesterday afternoon was unprecedented. Iran has always attacked Israel through its proxies, but it's never done a full frontal attack on Israel. And so the cat's out of the bag. We know that's the head of the snake. And obviously, the head of the snake did something. And obviously, they said it's in reaction to Israel taking out two psychopath generals from the IRGC who needed to be taken out because they're killers, like Soleimani was, and Trump took him out. So Israel takes out two generals. And so in a shame culture, Iran's going to do something. But you got to understand, why did Iran attack knowing that Iron Dome is probably going to take out all the weapons and the United States might help a little bit, and they did? Because it's a test balloon. It's a test balloon to see what the reaction is going to be from Israel, what's that reaction going to be from the United States and the international community or whatnot. And so, you know, Iran, you know, shoots over more than 200 killer drones, ballistic missiles, and some other type of missile, I can't remember. But anyway, all of them were intercepted. And I think the only casualty, well, it wasn't a casualty, but it was an injury to a little girl from the shrapnel from shooting down one of the killer drones, apparently. And so Israel shut them down. Well, Iran knew that. Iran knows that that's going to happen and knew it wasn't, nothing's really going to land. But again, it's a test balloon. It's to see what is America's reaction and what will happen after this. Because America, well, let's just say, let me narrow it down. Biden administration, and again, he's not calling the shots, other people are, have basically told Netanyahu, do not react to this, that what you did by defending yourself is great, and that's all you need to do. Well, excuse me, who are you to tell Netanyahu and the Israeli government what to do? They were just attacked by Iran. Can't they retaliate? Or you're going to tell them they can't retaliate? Because I fully expect Israel, if they act correctly, are going to retaliate. You just don't get to shoot off over 200 weapons at our people and think, oh yeah, we shot them all down, so we're just going to leave you alone. No, you have to respond to that. And the Biden administration is telling Israel not to respond, which is insane. But you're going to say, well, why is the Biden administration telling them that? Why are all these attacks happening to Israel this year? Well, let's talk about the last 3 years. It's because of weak leadership, okay? And it's not just simply weak leadership. It's the American policy of the Biden administration, foreign policy, is one of appeasement to rogue nations. You have to understand what once Biden got in there, and again, this is not left versus right in politics. This is about a policy of appeasement to these crazy psychopaths. Whether you're talking about the Ayatollahs who are nothing but psychopaths, or Hamas, or Fatah, or Hezbollah, or you know, North Korea, or Putin, or whoever. The reason the Houthis are doing what they're doing and the reason Hamas attacks Israel is because they know America's not going to do anything. America has been in a policy of appeasement. And we're going to look at this today because the funny thing is, I'm like, okay, when I finally made a decision, the Israel trip's off. I've been at about 5:30 yesterday. And I'm like, okay, I got to get a sermon going because I don't have a sermon. I wasn't prepared. I was leaving. So I worked the rest of the night to get it done. And I said, well, I wonder if I should do a topical thing more about what's going on, or let's see where I'm at with Jacob. So I look at Jacob and I'm like, what's going on here in Genesis 32, which is where we're at? And it's in a situation where Jacob is trying to appease his psychopathic brother, Esau. And I thought, oh, you couldn't have a better message than that. Because not only has the United States been trying to appease rogue nations and terrorists, but Israel, up until October 7th, has had the same policy. Now, things are changing with Israel, obviously, because they're like, we're done, right? But up until October 7th, Israel also maintained an appeasement policy. What do you mean? Well, they thought, well, let's give the Palestinians an economic opportunity to make themselves better economically. We'll give them work visas so they can come into Israel, work in Israel, and then take the money back into the Gaza and think, well, you know, they're going to be have economic prosperity. And so they won't hurt us. They won't want to kill us once we give the psychopaths money. No, because October 7th happened. And it proved that giving psychopaths money doesn't change them wanting to kill you. That's what we all learned. And that's what Israel, even its left, has learned. Like, and that's why like 81% of the Israelis say, never again are we having a Palestinian state. This is crazy. They're psychopaths. But again, Israel had this mentality, and I'll explain where this mentality came from. But now the left in America has the same thing. And unfortunately, let me tell you something else. The church has had the same thing too. The church has been in a policy of appeasement of this stupid culture. So the church is like wanting to be liked. Well, let's give on marriage and say two dudes can get married. Well, let's give on people are born that way, which is no scientific proof. And let's have 54% of a Christianity say that homosexuality and homosexual marriage is okay. Let's do that. Let's give them some ground there. And every time the church gives up the ground to the woke mob, to the DEI mob, to the ESG mob, they want more. It's not enough that the church gave up gay marriage to them. It's not enough, because what was after that? Now we have the whole transgender movement. You have to accept our transgender movement or you're transphobe. Okay, we give you that. Then what else? Well, I can tell you what's next. Pedophilia. And you just keep. And what you start realizing with a policy of appeasement, you can't appease evil. It just wants more and more and more. And I started this picture of Neville Chamberlain with Adolf Hitler. They thought they could appease Hitler. Well, let's just give him Poland. Let's just let him do a few things and let him stretch his wings out a little bit and expand Germany's borders. They were dealing with a psychopath. That guy wanted to kill everybody, including the Jews, right? And so Neville Chamberlain is the epitome of this appeasement mentality that you're seeing happen in the Middle East and why it's blowing up. And it's going to continue to blow up. It's not going to end. So Netanyahu hasn't come out yet. I'm waiting to see what he's going to say. But we did have one of the generals speak out, and he speaks very briefly, but he talks about what happened. This is as much as we got last night. So here you go.
Dozens of attack drones, as well as cruise missiles and ballistic missiles, outside of Israel's border. A number of Iranian missiles fell inside Israeli territory, causing minor damage to a military base with no casualties. Only one little girl has been hurt, and we hope she will be well. The Iranian attack is ongoing. Our plans are in the air. Tonight, wide-scale attack by Iran is a major escalation. Together with our allies and partners, we're operating at full force to defend the state of Israel and the people of Israel. We will continue to fulfill this mission. Questions, please.
CNN is asking, what type and how many projectiles have been fired towards Israel tonight so far? And how many drones and missiles have been intercepted? And can you specify by region?
The event is still occurring, but until now, over 200 different kinds have been fired to Israel. Killer drones, ballistic missiles, and cruise missiles. We have already intercepted a vast majority of the threats by Israeli systems and with assistance from our partners. We are still in the event, our planes are still in the air, intercepting targets, and we are ready for any threat that will come to Israel. We will do everything we need, everything, to defend the state of Israel. Thank you very much.
Amen. Amen. Good for him. They need to do anything. Okay, so let me show you what they experienced last night. I mean, imagine living in Israel and this constantly happening, and last night you wake up at 1:30 or 2 o'clock or in the morning, and you have rockets coming out of Iran. This is a picture of the rockets coming out of Iran and killer drones, ballistic missiles, cruise missiles. And so this is what it looks like in the sky if you're living in Israel. And you can see Iron Dome shooting up to take out the different missiles. Let me show you some more here. It's like watching just fireworks going over your city, but you realize that every one of them is a missile, and if it hits, it's going to kill somebody. And this you can see is over Jerusalem. So these rockets are being intercepted by Iron Dome. So here's more. This is, look at that, you're right over the Temple Mount. Some more. This is in Ashkelon, I believe.
Wow.
And all those explosions you see of them taking out the missiles or whatever they're hitting. So if you're in Israel, this is an example of, okay, what do you do when this, like, you start seeing this in the air and the sirens go off? You just duck and cover. You just run as best you can and find something to protect you. Here's, watch them. So this is a convenience store, a gas station. And look, that's all they have. That's what you have to start getting behind. So there's no shelter there, apparently. If you're next to Iron Dome, I want you, this came off a feed of someone close to where an Iron Dome thing was. This is how much they're firing to offset the 200, rockets and missiles and things. Watch this. That's crazy, right? But thank God for Iron Dome, okay? Because that saved them. But here's the thing. You have to understand this about this. when we're talking about appeasement, we're going to see it in Jacob. The United States is the one supplying the rockets for Iron Dome. Okay? So you got to understand this. The Biden administration is trying to tell Israel how to fight a war. And they're telling Israel, if you don't fight that war the way we want it, we're not going to supply the rockets for Iron Dome or whatever munitions you need. So hopefully you cooperate with us. So they've got Netanyahu and the Israeli government over a barrel in a lot of ways because of this dependency on American weaponry. And as you can see, they need it. If they didn't have Iron Dome, then what? You see what I'm saying? And then you understand there's 150,000 rockets aimed at Israel at the north from Hezbollah, which is another Iranian proxy. But again, the policy of appeasement by the United States, what is it allowing? It is allowing terrorist organizations and rogue nations all over the planet to take advantage of this. So here's an Israeli vessel, owned by an Israeli Eyal Ofer, and this is the Strait of Hormuz by Iran, okay? And the IRGC just seized it. So here's one of the guys on board where the helicopter, you focus in on the helicopter then starts dropping IRGC guys to take over the vessel. And this is what's going on not only in the Strait of Hormuz, but also in the Red Sea with the Houthis. So watch, so there's a helicopter from the IRGC. This is an Israeli-owned vehicle, or vessel, personally owned by an Israeli. So there's the rope that drops.
Hey, things up, don't come out. Hey, things up.
There's the first guy down to take over.
Hurry, I'm better go to bridge.
There's the second guy down. And they take over the boat. They take over the ship. And again, this is in the Strait of Hormuz. So the Strait of Hormuz, 20% of world's petroleum is going through that. And you're like, well, that doesn't affect me, Brandon. I'm in California. Your gas prices will skyrocket if they continue to do this. So the Biden administration, because it won't handle this and knock this off with what the Houthis are doing or what's going on in the Strait of Hormuz, you're going to see $6 gas price, $7 gas price if this is not stopped. But again, a policy of appeasement, we don't want to make Iran upset. We don't want to upset them. Excuse me. Why are you appeasing Iran? Okay, I'll get to it in just a bit, but understand this. The United States, the Biden administration's foreign policy is an appeasement policy towards Iran. And I know this is going to sound crazy, but you have to understand the crazy, psychotic thinking of the left. They believe that if they can give Iran strategic wins, okay, appeasing, then Iran will calm down their proxies, Houthis, Hezbollah, Hamas, whoever, you know, whoever the Iran's funding, right? And then we can have regional stability. Yeah, right. That is so stupid. A second grader could understand that. It makes no sense that we're going to think that we can appease a evil Iranian regime who's the number one state sponsor of terrorism in the entire world and think that they're going to calm everyone down. They want Israel eliminated. That's the goal of these idiotic psychopaths. You can't sit down and have tea with them and say, hey, don't do this, like Biden did on Thursday. Biden says, hey, don't attack Israel. Saturday, the attack. This is a joke. It's a joke. And so you got to understand, we have set this scenario up in Israel, for Israel to be in the crosshairs, because think about this. Okay, so this Morgan Ortega gave a good tweet or an X or whatever you want to call it, said, reminder, Biden allowed the UN sanctions on Iran's drones and ballistic missiles to expire less than 6 months ago. Yeah. So guess what they've been doing? So the very same drones and missiles that are en route to Israel right now are because Biden lifted the sanctions on Iran doing this. So there's a big time culpability among the White House and the Biden administration for this happening, let alone the appeasement of giving Iran money. Okay? We unfroze $10 billion for Iran, thinking, well, we'll give them some money. They'll be nice to us. They'll be nice to Israel. Then we gave them another $6 billion. And then, we're so stupid, we lifted sanctions on their oil production, and they've been selling oil to China, and they've made about $90 billion after lifting those sanctions on Iran. That's called the policy of appeasement. That's saying that we can give you gifts, and then you will treat us nice, or Israel nice. You're crazy. Who thinks like that? I guess we do. Not you and I, but the Biden administration. Okay, so here's what I want you to see. What we're seeing in the world happen today is right smack dab in the middle of the text that you're looking at. Dude, I look at this and I say, how do people say the Bible's not relevant? I mean, the very thing that Jacob's going to get into with his brother Esau is the same problem that Israel has had up till October 7th. So what you're going to see in the text is Jacob try to appease the psychopathic brother, Esau, who wants to kill him, okay? Now, this has been the same problem Israel's had up until October 7th, appeasement. Now, what do you mean, Brandon? Let me set the stage so you can understand what I'm talking about. So the leftist mentality that has taken over some of the politics in Israel has been, and it's among the general staff of the IDF, okay? So you have to separate the general staff of the IDF with the rest of the IDF. We support the IDF. I'm in contact with some of the commanders in the IDF, okay? We just interviewed them this week. They're different compared to the general staff. The general staff are political appointees from the left, and they have leftist mentality at the top level. And then you have above them the Netanyahu government, okay? So they're smack dab in the middle between what Netanyahu is doing and 81% of the Israelis, left and right, who say, we're not doing a Palestinian two-state deal. We've got to eliminate Hamas. And then you have the general staff saying, we agree with Biden. Let's do a ceasefire. What? Are you crazy? Okay. So what has been happening is they have been saying, look, we will allow the Palestinians economic prosperity by letting them have work visas and coming into Israel and working and then taking what they make back into the Gaza. And again, the general staff has said this, that this should be enough to appease them. And if they make some money and we give them this, then they won't want to kill us. Now, that's you can say, well, that's naive, but this is what happens when you have a leftist mindset. A leftist mindset, you understand, I don't care if you're Jew or Gentile, if you have a leftist mindset, this is what happens. You don't think in terms of right and wrong anymore. You think in terms of power or appeasement or whatever. And to think in the fact that I can appease Hamas by giving them money and then they won't want to commit, you say, that's crazy. That's right. Because Hamas doesn't think in right and wrong terms. They see it as, well, you give us money, we still want to kill you. And we'll take whatever you get and want to kill you. You understand right now, one of the Hamas leaders, their daughter is being treated for cancer in an Israeli hospital. Okay? The Israelis are trying to save her from cancer. But you think that changes the Hamas leader's mindset? No, I want to kill the Jews. The Jews are the one helping you. Yeah, I know, because he's a megalomaniac. It's satanically driven. It's evil. And when are people going to learn that you can't appease evil? Well, if you have a leftist mindset, you think you can, right? Okay, so watch this. So Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. When Jacob saw them, he said, "This is God's camp." And he called the name of that place Mahanaim, which basically means two camps. Now, what happened here? Well, here's what's going on. Context. Jacob is getting away from one psychopath, Laban, who has been trying to cheat him and all kinds of crazy stuff. And finally, like we saw last week, he said to his wives, "Hey, dude, your dad's crazy, man. We're out of here," so to speak. So they're going to hightail it back to the promised land, okay? And God has confirmed this. Go back into the promised land, go back into the land I gave you, which is referring to Israel, okay? So he gets to the border of where he's going to get ready to cross into Israel, well, at the time, Canaan, and God meets him there with a camp of angels. And so a whole host of a camp is there of angels that he meets before he goes in. So his camp of people that he has in his possessions meet this heavenly host camp, right? And so here, if you can kind of see this where it's at, you can see right there where the red dot is type of thing, the drop is, the pin. So down there's the Dead Sea, and you have, we think this is the place where he met them, okay? So it's right before going into the border of Israel. And what is this for? Well, we're going from one psychopath to another psychopath. So let me remind you of this. When Jacob left, he left because his crazy brother Esau said, once dad dies, I'm going to kill you. You're dead when dad dies. So he said, I'm out of here. So he took off. Well, guess what? He's going back to where Esau is. And Esau probably still wants to kill him, is what he's thinking, because he's psychopathic, okay? So Jacob's gonna be a little afraid, and I would be too. We're going from the frying pan into the fire, so to speak. So God comes to them at that right time before he goes in the promised land and shows him the whole host of angels that God is promising that will go in and protect him. Will, and angels, their primary job is to ensure that God's will gets accomplished in our lives. Okay, so that's why he's showing them, Jacob, you're not alone. I know there's a guy breathing fire that wants to kill you, but he's not going to be able to do it. I'm showing you that you have the armies of God with you. Just go back and do what I tell you to do. Don't fear, just do it. And that's where we all have to get, even in our own lives, is can we trust the Lord to handle our threats? Okay? So we can Israel trust the Lord to handle their threats? Okay? That's a geopolitical question we all have to realize that we're hoping that Israel comes to faith in Yeshua. But we also know what Scripture says, that they will do an alliance with the Antichrist at some point in time. And they will not trust the Lord, but go to the Antichrist for help to prevent these military invasions from keep happening, to stop it from happening. And so that's a question for relevant to Jacob, or relevant to Israel, but relevant to us. The world is becoming more hostile around us. And you can't ignore what's going on. I mean, just a couple of weeks, we had some crazy lunatic out here in the parking lot protesting our stance on Israel, right? And she got arrested and they took her off. Okay. But we should expect more of that, especially in these day and times. More from the LGBT, more of it is going to happen from the DEI and the ESG crowd. It's becoming hostile. So here in Bakersfield, you think, well, Brandon, that's never going to happen in Bakersfield. That only happens in LA. That happens in San Francisco. That only happens in Israel. No, it's not. It's happening right here. The psychopaths are here. And we've had an influx of psychopathic behavior from people from LA, from the Central Coast, and from people from San Francisco. I'm not saying all of them are bad. I'm not saying that. But you understand, we're no longer a conservative island that comes from the grapes of wrath anymore. Bakersfield is turning into another California city full of psychopaths, okay? So here's our the latest board meetings, for our city council has been disrupted by these pro-Palestinians, pro-Hamas psychopaths disrupting everything. Watch this. This is Bakersfield.
See fire now! 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 On you! You have blood on your hands too! Shame! Shame! Shame on you! You have blood on your hands too!
That's not Michigan. That's not Dearborn, Stan. That's Bakersfield, Stan. Where did these people come from? You get the site. That's psychopathic, by the way. And they've disrupted, I don't know how many, like 6 different board meetings because they want the city council to make a resolution to cease fire, the genocide of Israel. Got it. Same talking points you hear all over the world, right? Right here in Bakersfield. And then you have this other psychopath that made the news this week. Listen to this psychopathic individual.
My name is Riddhi Patel. I'm here to speak in support of the city council introducing a ceasefire resolution, specifically the one United Liberation Front has drafted. I don't have faith that you'll do this. You guys are all horrible human beings, and Jesus probably would have killed you himself. And the thing is, though, it's very clear to me as someone who's been an organizer for the past couple of years that none of you care because you guys don't care about anything happening in Palestine or any other country where oppression occurs because you don't care about the oppression occurring here. And I understand that you guys are all horrible people, but the thing is, 2,300 people being evicted in the last year, those are votes. And you guys, those are votes to win here in Bakersfield. And while you guys parade Gandhi around as a Hindu holiday called Chaitra Navratri starts off this week, I remind you that these holidays that we practice, that other people in the global south practice, believe in violent revolution against their oppressors. And I hope one day somebody brings the guillotine and kills all of you. The increased criminalization for no need other than you don't like when people come and hold you guys accountable for introducing ceasefire resolutions, because the only escalation in violence has been by you all, and so there's no need to continue. In the last 5 years I've attended city council meetings, there's never been metal detectors, there's never been more cops. The only reason you're doing it is because people actually don't care if you guys don't like them, and they're actually resisting, so you want to criminalize them. So regardless of whether you elect people into office, they'll backstab you, they'll let you die, and for that reason, you guys want to criminalize us with metal detectors, we'll see you at your house, we'll murder you.
So, psychopathic behavior, we're going to murder you, we're going to take you to the guillotine. Yeah, that's what happens to a culture that has forgotten God, and they issue death threats because you won't give a resolution for a ceasefire, as if that's going to change anything Israel does. Right. Stupid. So what happens when you make threats like this as a psychopathic individual to a city council and to the mayor? Well, I guess you end up in Laredo.
A deputy public defender entered not guilty pleas on Patel's behalf to 8 counts of threatening a public official and 10 counts of making terroristic threats. She's due back in court later this month.
Yeah, $1 million bail. You're looking at 16 federal accounts of terrorism, of threatening terrorism. We'll see you in 10 years. But again, why am I showing you this? It's to show you you're in a hostile environment. You're just like Jacob going into a hostile environment, and these psychopaths are everywhere. Okay, so what does God want us to learn? Well, he's telling you, look, there's a whole host of angels, and you're going to feel like you're outnumbered. Jacob's going to feel like he's outnumbered, right? And Israel is feeling like they're outnumbered. On a human level, yeah, it's going to look like we're outnumbered. But why does God send the angels and show the angels to Jacob? Well, it's to show him that, look, yes, 1/3 of the angels fell with Satan, but 2/3 of them are still with God. And they're with us. They help us. They're ministering to us. And they make sure that God's plans get accomplished. And so one of the applications that Jacob is supposed to have, or we are even supposed to have, is, look, you're not alone. It's going to feel and look like you're alone. And I get the churches are dwindling as far as who's going to support Israel and who's going to support even just morality anymore. But you're not alone. If you remember and recall, Elisha had the same situation happen to him, and his servant was freaking out, panicking, because he saw the armies coming surrounding Israel. And Elisha says, Lord, open his eyes. And he opened his eyes, and then Elijah saw the hosts of heaven surrounding and realizing, oh, there's more of the heavenly host than the enemies of Israel. That's right. Don't ever forget that. We outnumber them. You just don't see the numbers. But you have to have faith that the angels are there. God's will is going to be accomplished. And they can't stop you from telling the truth. They can't. Look at Hebrews 1:14. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? So what do you think the angels are doing? Sitting around strumming harps? What do you think they're doing? They're there to minister to those whose God has a plan for, whether it's Jacob or Israel or it's the church or whoever. They are helping us. So you're never really alone. So that should give us confidence moving forward and should give Jacob confidence. But unfortunately, Jacob is wavering in his faith. So unfortunately, he moves towards appeasement. This doesn't resonate with him very much. Look at this. Then Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau, his brother, in the land of Seir, the country of Edom. You know where that's at? Southern Jordan, where Petra is. That's the area that he's at, okay? And he commanded them, saying, speak thus to my lord. It's like, oh no, don't do that. My lord Esau, thus your servant Jacob. Notice the language. I want you to focus on what he says. He says, my lord, I am your servant. That is a reversal of the patriarchal blessing and the Abrahamic covenant, which designates Jacob as the master over Esau. Okay? Esau is to be his servant, and Jacob rules over him. That is already predicted. It was predicted when they were babies in the womb. Okay? But what is Jacob doing? Well, the Jewish commentators on this say that Jacob is now saying he is willing to reverse the patriarchal blessing, which he cannot do, to appease Esau. And so he's using this language, I'm your servant, you're my master or lord, and he's reversing it. And Jacob, you can't reverse it. It has been given to you by Yahweh. You can't change it. And why is he doing it? Well, he's doing it for appeasement. Well, maybe I'll give it back to him and it'll make him happy and not want to kill me. Wait a second. Jacob, are you believing the narrative from Esau? Because remember what Esau said about him? You stole my birthright. A flat out lie. But this seems like he's buying into the false narrative. No, you didn't steal it, Jacob. It's yours. He sold it to you legitimately. And then obviously the blessing from your father, you lied about that. But nonetheless, it was still going to you regardless. You can't give it back, Jacob. Now you think, what's happening? This is a policy of appeasement. I'll give back something to him that belongs to me. So when you watch Israel, and this is when I totally disagree with them when they do this. Let's give the Gaza Strip to the Palestinians, and then we'll give them all the botanical gardens and all the nurseries and all the agriculture, and they can have paradise on earth. It can have a port city out of there, and they can make a wonderful life. So let's remove the Jews off their land and give them a piece of our land that was given to us by God so that it will make them happy and not want to attack us. And what happened since 2005? They turned the Gaza Strip into a rocket-making place that fires rockets into Israel. You see with the same principle? Let's give Esau something that belongs to me that God gave me, and maybe it'll make him happy and not want to kill me. Same principle. It's the same principle. Thus, your servant Jacob says, I have dwelt with Laban and stayed there until now. I have oxen and donkey and flocks, male and female servants. I have sent to tell my Lord that I may find favor in your sight. So let's unfreeze $10 billion for Iran. Let's give the Palestinians work visas. Let's unfreeze the sanctions on Iran's oil. And maybe we will find favor in the Ayatollah's sight. Are you catching this? Maybe if we give Rocket Man in North Korea what he wants, he won't fire a rocket on us. Or whatever. Whatever. Maybe if we just take out the little tactical targets of the Houthis, then they'll stop raiding the ships in the Red Sea and they'll stop doing their antics and maybe they'll realize we're nice people too. Maybe if we go over there and apologize and bow down to Saudi Arabia, then they'll stop it like Obama did. Or maybe the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt and we bow down to them and say, hey, we're sorry. And we go on an apology tour to all these Muslim countries that hate us. Then they'll like us, right? Jacob, you cannot be more than, that's totally wrong, dude. Then the messengers returned to Jacob saying, we came to your brother Esau and he also is coming to meet you and 400 men are with him. So what does he think? He freaks out. He starts panicking. But remember, the Lord showed him the angels. He shouldn't panic. He shouldn't freak out because there's more of them than there are of the 400 men with Esau. So Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. There you go. There's your problem. He went emotional. He got afraid. And so what he's going to do, watch what he does. And he divided the people that were with him and the flocks and herds and camels into two companies. And he said, if Esau comes to the one company and attacks it, then the other company, which is left, will escape. Jacob, no. We're not doing that. We're not going to say, you know what, I'm going to split up into two camps. And boy, if he wants that one camp, he can take it. At least one other camp can get away. So Jacob is telling you he's willing to give away portions of what God has blessed him with to this murderous psychopath and say, well, at least I can get away with just a little bit of what I have left and I'll sacrifice half of what I have just to get him off my back. I'm sorry, you don't do that. Jacob, you don't do that. Israel, you don't do that. And we as Christians do not do that. We don't give away that which God has blessed us with and give it away to evil people to appease them. We don't do that. Israel should never give up land. They shouldn't give up the north. They shouldn't make a buffer zone. They need to just tell Hezbollah, we're going to kill you or back off. That's it. We wipe you out or you back off. We're not going to give you any more land. Okay? To whoever. We're not giving any more land. It hasn't worked. Right? So what you see here then is this concept of, well, I'll surrender the ground I have. Whatever the Lord has given you, it's up to him whether the Lord wants it back, right? But I'm going to give it to the DEI group. I'm going to give it to the woke mob. I'm going to give it to the LGBT agenda. I'm going to give it to these pro-Palestinian, pro-Hamas people. No, I'm sorry. I'm not doing that. Let's talk about civic virtues. We believe in America, in our Constitution, in our Bill of Rights, that our rights come from God. Not from Joe Biden or the government or Gavin Newsom, right? We believe that. And we understand that the Ten Commandments actually show that our rights actually come from God. That's where our founders got it, especially from the Ten Commandments since they're in the negative. And so the idea then is we have inalienable rights given us by God. Why would I give up any right that God gave me to satisfy some creep out there that hates me? Well, Brandon, your rhetoric is inflammatory. It seems like it's hate speech. It's Islamophobic. It's homophobic. It's transophobic. You should curtail your free speech. I'm sorry. I will not give up my free speech to make you happy. I'm not doing that. Or my Second Amendment rights, because I have the right not to be murdered. I have a right to life. I'm not going to give you my Second Amendment rights. I don't care what you think. So this is what I'm talking about. But what's happened in the church has said, well, and Americans have done this too. Well, and to make these people happy, maybe we just need to give up some ground and then they'll be nice to us. What? But that's been the strategy of the church. So the strategy gives up traditional marriage, biblical marriage, to now 54% of Christians say gay marriage is okay. You gave it up. So what's after that? Well, then we give up gay marriage, we give up marriage, so you can define it to whatever you want. What about sexuality? Well, you can have sex with it whatever you want. We give up that ground. And boy, howdy, you better not tell somebody that's living together or in a homosexual relationship that they're evil or that's wrong what they're doing. You better not tell them that. And then you give up sexuality and then you move into, well, what's next? Well, you got the transgender movement. You better not say that a guy can't have a baby. Better not say that, because if you say that, he's not going to like you anymore. You don't want him not liking you because you want to be liked by everybody, right? But what's after the transgender? I can tell you what's after that. You can take a guess. It's pedophilia. Well, boy, you know, huh? They say that we're born that way, Brandon. They're making the same argument as the homosexual made. Boy, I don't want to be pedophilia phobic. You watch. It's next. What else? The cat's out of the bag. There's no barn. And the problem is, if the church continues to give up that ground, you will see pedophilia. You will see it. Just like you're seeing transgenderism. Because you keep surrendering. Because why? I want to be liked? What is that, some narcissistic thing that the church has? I just want to be liked. No. Verse 9, then Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, the Lord who said to me, return to your country and to your family, and I will deal well with you. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which you have shown your servant. For I have crossed over this Jordan with my staff, and now I have become two companies. Deliver me, I pray, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he come and attack me and the mother with the children. For you said, I will surely treat you well and make your descendants as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. Fantastic prayer. Beautiful prayer. That's exactly what all of us need to be praying. It's what Israel should be praying right now. Deliver us, right? Beautiful prayer. But here's the problem. It's a beautiful prayer. It's a faith-filled prayer. He's saying, I don't deserve this. Great. But the problem is, it doesn't factor on the ground with what he's doing. He's just saw a company of angels, and he's still freaked out about Esau. Now he prays this wonderful prayer, and then what you're going to see is appeasement of saying, you know what? I'm going to trust the Lord to deliver me from this guy. I'm not going to play the game and try to appease him and give away that which was given to me by God. I'm not doing that. But what does he do? Appeasement. So he lodged there that same night and took what came to his hand as a present for Esau, his brother. Ask yourself, what came to his hand? Everything that came to Jacob's hand was the blessing of God. And he's willing to give it away. 200 female goats, 20 male goats, 200 ewes and 20 rams, 30 milk camels with their colts, 40 cows and 10 bulls, 20 female donkeys and 10 foals. You know what that is? That's wealth. That's money. He's buying them off. It's almost like a bribe. That's what appeasement does. It bribes people to get good action. Huh. Then he delivered them to the hand of his servants, every drove by itself, and said to his servants, pass over before me and put some distance between successive droves. And he commanded the first one, saying, when Esau, my brother, meets you and asks you, saying, to whom do you belong and where are you going? Whose are these in front of you? Then you shall say, they are your... Oh, that's a problem. Jacob, you are not his servant. You are his master. He is your servant. Don't reverse this. Don't try to make it nice for Esau. It is a present sent to my Lord. There you go, problem, Esau. And behold, he is also behind us. So he commanded the second and the third and all who followed the drove, saying, in this manner you shall speak to Esau when you find him, and also say, behold, your servant, there it is again, is behind us, for he said, there it is, I will appease him with the present that goes before me. That's it. Wrong. We don't do that. It's actually uses the word for appease is to make atonement in Hebrew. That I'll make atonement to him and he'll forgive me. Jacob, you're not owed. What are you asking for forgiveness for? I mean, The only forgiveness you need to be seeking is from your father, which you lied to. But every transaction in order to get the patriarchal blessing was yours to begin with. The transaction between your brother was legitimate. What are you asking for forgiveness for? Oh, that's right. When you allow people to put collective guilt on you and you absorb it, you will try to appease it. Guess what? This is where the idea of reparations come from. This is where the idea of that, well, we all have collective guilt for what happened 250 years ago in our country. We all have a collective guilt of taking land from the Indians here in America, or Native Americans, or I'm sorry, I didn't use a politically correct term. We're all guilty of taking their land. We should give all California back to the American Indians here, because boy, howdy, we took it from them. We stole it. They deserve reparations. Are you insane? What kind of mentality thinks like that? We're gonna just keep going back and back and back and back and back and back to Adam and Eve? Is that where we're gonna go? And so we all owe Adam and Eve reparations for taking their land or whatever. I mean, really? That's crazy talk. That's nuts. But again, it's the mentality. When you allow yourself to be guilted from this society, well, you're not diverse, you're not equitable, you're not inclusive, Brandon. You are racist because you were born a racist. So then what you're gonna do, you'll get on your knees like these people have. I apologize for being white. I apologize for being racist. I apologize for being homophobic. I'm sorry. That's called a false guilt. And that's what he's having right now. And he's buying right into it. And afterward, I will see his face. Perhaps he will accept me. Really? Really? The guy wanted to kill you. You think giving him money is gonna accept you? Maybe, maybe not, probably not. So the present went over on, the present went on over before him, but he himself lodged that night in the camp. And we'll pick up on the rest of the story later on, but here's the point. We saw prayer here. This is appeasement. Appeasement to a psychopath that wanted to kill you. And it doesn't work. So the principle is, if you think, and if I think, if the Biden administration thinks, if Israel thinks that you can have reconciliation or get good behavior by giving people stuff that are evil, you're out of your mind. You're gonna end up in a dead end. Hey, look, even down to your family level, do you have a psycho in your family? You probably do, because everyone has them, okay? And that psycho cannot be appeased. You're not gonna be able to sit there and say, you know what, I'll give you $500 if you act nice at Thanksgiving. It doesn't work, because he's a psychopath. And when he comes to Thanksgiving, what do you expect a psychopath to do? They just exercise their job description, right? They don't change. I don't care how many gifts, we're gonna be really nice to him. We're gonna walk on eggshells, and then I know he will act respectful towards all of us. No, he won't. So you already know intuitively it doesn't work in your own family. Why would I think it's gonna work with the Ayatollahs or Hamas or any of these creeps? I like what Winston Churchill said. An appeaser is one who feeds a crocodile hoping it will eat him last. Yeah, that's it. You're right. Because that's what evil does, right? So here's what you have to understand. When you deal with evil people, psychopathic, okay? They don't have a concept of right and wrong. So sitting down with them and discussing and negotiating doesn't work with psychopaths. Evil psychopaths only understand one thing, power. And if the person or the country will use it, that's what they have to realize. See, right now, we have the power in the United States with our military to pound people into the ground. But they know the Biden administration is not going to use it. So what good is it to have the power, but you're not willing to use it? That's the problem. That's what causes rogue states to go crazy. And then it's talking about Israel. They know Israel has to fight with one hand behind their back because of the Biden administration telling them, we will cut off your weapons if you don't conduct yourself the way we want to conduct it. So they take a pot shot at Israel. And the attack, knowing that, look, the Biden administration is going to back them off. They're not going to be able to open a full-scale war or whatever. And I hope for Israel's sake, they separate themselves from the Biden administration and they just take care of business. I hope they do that. We pray that they do that. But anyway, we used to have a motto, if you recall, and I think it was Teddy Roosevelt that said this, we want to speak softly but carry a big stick. Yeah, we speak loudly now, but we don't carry any stick. So Biden says, don't attack, Iran attacks. They're not afraid of us, okay? So let's talk about Israel real quick. I'm wrapping things up. Until October 7th, Israel has been in the same mindset. So appeasement, appeasement, appeasement. Like I talked with the Gazans, give them the land, give them this, give them that, give them employment, give them work visas, and then maybe they won't want to kill us. Because that's coming from a liberal mindset, a leftist mindset. And a lot of the general staff are political appointees from leftists in the IDF. It doesn't encompass all the IDF. The IDF is really good, but it's the top general staff that they only get there by political appointees, typically left. So guess what? Right now, this level of general staff is working with the Biden administration to accomplish the same thing. They want a ceasefire. They want to get rid of Netanyahu out of there. And so there's this undercurrent that's going on in Israel. This doesn't encompass the rest of the IDF and doesn't encompass the Netanyahu government, who they're trying to unseat. The United States is. We just saw that this week by Caroline Glick saying the information got leaked out that they're trying to get Netanyahu out of there. The United States government is working in concert with the leftists in Israel. Look, it doesn't matter if you're Jew or Gentile. If you're a leftist, you're a leftist. You have the same mindset. So you have people selling out their own country in the United States and even in Israel. Okay, these leftists, these ideologues. Okay, so what has happened? Well, up until October 7th, it's been one of appeasement. But now the game has changed. And I think 81% is polling in Israel of saying, no, we're not doing a two-state solution. So the people agree with Netanyahu, but the Biden administration doesn't. So you're watching a split get ready to happen over this appeasement policy of evil people. And I hope Israel just basically goes on their own. But here's the problem right here. Finkelman, Halevi, Halevov, as an example, these guys right here knew the attacks of Hamas. They were warned repeatedly by the IDF. Constant. They ignored the 17 girls, and only two of those girls survived. And the girls kept telling them, they're practicing on the wall. And these guys, Halevi, Finkelman, totally ignored it. Oh, they're not going to do it. We were giving them economic prosperity. And they were totally, it was a total misunderstanding and a mis-evaluation of what Hamas was doing. But again, where does it come from? An appeasement mentality of the left, okay? And that's what we have going on in Israel. And then we got this. Sleepy Joe, now we know he's not in charge, we know that. But the people in the White House and the State Department, they're the ones in charge and they're calling the shots and they're saying, you will leave Iran alone. You will let the Palestinians have a two-state solution, regardless of what Israel wants. And look, the world is looking at our weakness. They've seen us, what we did in Afghanistan. They've seen us, what we've pumped in $113 into Ukraine, and nothing has come of that. Ukraine's going to lose at the end of the day, and Russia's going to win because they're just going to outlast them, right? And then you have Chinese spy balloons going across America. We don't do anything about that. So you don't think China's seeing that? Well, we can annex Taiwan. Our enemies are watching us. And then you have not just what October 7th happened to Israel, but we have 170 times U.S. installations in the Middle East have been attacked by proxies of Iran. And what have we done? We had servicemen killed. We don't do anything. We just say, well, they're not. It doesn't seem that it's aligned with Iran. We don't want to escalate the region. We want to de-escalate the region. So we have allowed Iran's proxies to take out 170 installations and kill some of our servicemen. We don't do anything. You don't think that Iran sees that? They're saying, we're licking their chops, dude. So we got the Houthis jamming up the Red Sea. Nothing's happening. Then they see our southern border. Now, I want you to think about this. How does our southern border factor into geopolitical understandings of appeasement? Apparently, we want to appease the whole world. Our borders are open. Come, y'all. We don't care who you are. We don't vet you. We don't know anything about you. Just come on in. Drug cartels, pedophilers, molesters, even terrorist organizations that are tied to the Muslim Brotherhood or Iran or whatever. Come on in. Have Chinese spies come in too as well. That's fine. We want them all here. We want them all here, right? And are we shocked when we have an open border and our country gets more anti-Semitic with people we keep bringing in that we don't vet, with people that hate our country and hate Israel? So you end up with this guy, not in Saudi Arabia, not in Iran, but in Michiganistan. Or Michiganistan. There you go. Michiganistan. This is on American soil. Let me ask you this. After you hear him talk, I want to know what you would say.
We've been asked in the past, why are our protests on the International Day of Quds, why are they so anti-America? Why don't we just focus more on Israel and not talk so much about America? Gaza has shown the entire world why these protests are so anti-America. Because it's the United States government that provides the funds for all of the atrocities that we just heard about. And this is why Imam Khomeini, who declared the International Day of Quds, this is why he would say to pour all of your chants and all of your shouts upon the head of America. Malcolm X said, and I quote, "We live in one of the rottenest countries that has ever existed on this earth. It's not Genocide Joe that has to go. It's the entire system that has to go. Any system that would allow such atrocities and such devilry to happen and would support it, such a system does not deserve to exist on God's earth." And so when these fools ask us if Israel has the right to exist, the chant "Death to Israel" has become the most logical chant shouted across the world today. Imam Khomeini recognized that Israel is an evil settler colonialist project. He realized it is a cancer. And he established this day. Israel, before this, brothers and sisters, was a sacred cow. Nobody could criticize Israel. Everybody was terrified of being anti-Semitic. Everybody was afraid of them. But now, the people of conscience very openly will criticize Israel. They recognize Israel for what it is. Israel is ISIS. They are Nazis. They are fascists. They are racist. The people of the world now know this.
Free, free Palestine!
Free, free Palestine! From the river to the sea,
Palestine will be free!
Question. Open borders brings people in our country that hate our way of life. They hate America. They say it's the rottenest place to live, according to not only them, but Malcolm X. What would you say to an individual that says America is the rottenest place to live? Get out! Get out of our country! We don't want you here, especially when you're saying death to America and death to Israel. Get out! So we shouldn't be shocked that we have open borders and that kind of creep, that kind of megalomaniac, that evil person is saying those kinds of things. Shouldn't be shocked. It all comes with the package. What can I do then? Look, man, this stuff is not going to end. I wish I could say that Israel's wars are going to end after that. No. It has just begun. We already know a Psalm 83 invasion is getting ready to happen. It's predicted in Scripture. We know Gog of Magog invasion will happen. We know all of this. Israel is going to be terrorized, and Israel will be isolated by itself, according to Zechariah chapter 12, verse 3. Here's the deal. It's time for you and I, and we have been doing this, to make sure we're on the right side of history, the right side of God on this one. We are not going to be like the 80% of the Germans who took Hitler's side against the Jews. We're not going to be that person. We are going to stand with Israel. We're going to support Israel. And by the way, you have been doing it. Let me tell you where we're up to. We have collected for the nation of Israel over $1 million as of today. $1 million. And that is going to help them, the IDF, the families, everything. We're going to continue to do this. Because what you're going to find out is Israel's going to lose its support. And it's going to come down to you and I, the evangelical Bible believers that understand the role of Israel, that's going to be there to support them all the way through. And that's where we need the strength that God is saying, look, the Lord of hosts is with you. Support them. I know you're going to get a backlash. I know you're going to get a pushback. But the Lord of hosts and his hosts are with you. You're not alone. Fight this battle. We need everybody in it. We don't need any wet noodles. No more wet noodles. We need you to be bold with your family, bold with your community, bold out there with the truth, right? And not letting some person say, death to Israel, genocide Israel. No, no. We're going to correct that with the truth. We're going to stand for Israel. So, let's leave and pray for Israel as we depart. Let's lift Israel up now. Father, we come before you. We understand that your chosen nation is under attack. We understand the prophetic significance of all of this, that you're getting ready to work and you are working with Israel now as we speak. Father, protect them as you did even from the attack from Iran. Protect them from any more losses, any more casualties. Give them wisdom to know how to deal with this Middle East problem of people wanting to destroy them. Give them that grace and mercy. And Father, we pray for spiritual awakening in the hearts of the Israelites, that Father, they would recognize their need for Yeshua, that Yeshua is their long-awaited Messiah, and that they need to turn to him. So even through all of this bad stuff that's happening, help them to look for the truth and perhaps find Yeshua in all of this. Help us to have the strength to stand with Israel and to do everything we can, Father, to help Israel, like people in the past, like Corrie Ten Boom and all of, Oscar Schindler and all of those righteous Gentiles that stood in the gap for Israel. Help us to be that person as well. And bless us now as we go, as we stand for truth. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for joining us for another lesson. We hope that this message is a blessing for you and helps you grow towards a more mature understanding of God's Word. For more information about our ministry, we invite you to check out our website at rockharborchurch.net. Until next time, remember, keep looking up, for our redemption draws near.